Three more Bahraini political activists have been sentenced to life in prison as the tiny Persian Gulf Kingdom steps up its crackdown on internal dissent. The three were accused of being involved in anti-government unrest. Six additional people were handed 10-year jail terms for their involvement in protests. Last month, eight people were sentenced to life terms on similar charges. Bahrain has been gripped by anti-government protests since the popular uprising began in 2011. The ruling Al-Khalifa regime has responded to those protests with a heavy-handed crackdown, killing scores and injuring and arresting thousands of others. To talk about this, we're joined by Jim W. Dean, managing editor of Veterans Today. Jim, it's good to have you here with us on the program. Now, essentially, if this type of treatment, or let's say mistreatment, which we call crackdown here, weren't happening in the Persian Gulf, small sheikdom being Bahrain, and it were to be taking place in any other country, I think the Western mainstream media would be all over the place and making a huge cry about it. So why is this deathly silence when it comes to the Al-Khalifa regime's crackdown on Bahraini people?
Well, this deathly silence really kind of pertains to all of the Persian Gulf states, particularly the oil monarchies. Their money, particularly the defense contracts that they have with the major Western countries where a lot of the major media lies, they just stay away from it. There, as you just described, is a long history of hypocrisy here. And of course, the Western countries, particularly the U.S., has had no problem whatsoever of backing authoritarian regimes who have oppressed their people all over the world, as long as they served U.S. interest in some way. So, but Bahrain is really under the thumb of Saudi Arabia in terms of whatever Bahrain did not do, would not do, Saudi Arabia would come in and do with their own people. But there, you're right, there has not been enough of a world outrage on this. The UN doesn't say very much about how these countries are cracking down and allowing no dissent whatsoever. There seems to be no penalties for removing them from any of their UN posts or any diplomatic punishments whatsoever. So the problem we have is we don't seem to have any real effective tools to curb their behavior whatsoever. I don't think they really would care whether people don't like them or would want to protest in other countries, as long as they have their money and they remain in control of their countries with the major Western countries backing them.
In terms of the media coverage being biased and all those things that you did touch upon, that's a separate issue. There is a major paradox and a dilemma. But when it comes to the internal politics of the Persian Gulf, literal sheikdoms and kingdoms, whatever you want to call them, such as Bahrain, what is really missing there? Is it the leadership on the part of the dissidents and those protesting the Al-Khalifa regime, for instance, in Bahrain, or is it some other thing that's missing from the equation that hasn't really made them get that far and gather that, you know, enough critical mass in order to bring about the downfall of this regime, or at least bring about some major and tangible change and reforms on the ground?
Well, even the American Revolution, which my ancestors fought the British in, that was a long war, a long struggle. But we did not win without the French coming in toward the end. And this is the problem that the Bahraini activists have, is they don't have a major powerful ally being able to help them. So unless one comes on the scene, and we're not really sure what's going to happen, but they have to be very careful how they play their hand. They have to stay away from violence because that just gives the regime more opportunities to crack down and imprison their people. They need to keep their opposition as peaceful as possible because that'll help them get more world support.
And, briefly, Jim Dean, what does it take for a crisis to turn into a tragedy for then the whole world, the broader international community, including the United Nations, to come to their senses and collect their wits and essentially flex the muscles in terms of addressing and redressing the situation?
Well, one thing is around the world, no one ever really protests the United Nations itself. They don't protest the high pay and the wonderful pensions that everybody gets there working. They don't seem to be accountable really to anyone. They're almost like a Gulf state themselves in terms of what they decide to do or not do. But that said, they are limited somewhat in their power. But while they'll speak out on a whole bunch of things, they haven't really done very much. And what we really need to do is take a look at how the UN is structured, the issue of state-sponsored terrorism. The UN never utters a word about it whatsoever. So the world really needs to take a whole look at the UN and really at taking a starting the whole thing over. And if we were to start a UN today, a new one, how would we make it different than what we have today? And it wouldn't be very hard to be able to improve on what we have.
I want to thank you there, Jim Dean.